Hi there, guys.
Hey, guys. This is a Red Rod Podcast with Rob and Laura O'Mahony. We're on episode 23.
Oh, my God. Is almighty. It 23? I think it is.
It's mad, isn't it?
Red Raw. Red Raw. With Rob and Laura.
I just got a phone call before I came in here.
Yeah.
A fellow who went to school with me. And he'd be catching
name up. And shame.
I tell you in a minute, he's a lovely fella.
Okay.
He's a lovely, lovely, hairy boy, you know, when we were younger. Like, do you know the O'Connors who owned
funeral
the diesel?
Homes.
Not the funeral.
Oh, sorry.
So they owned the funeral. Or not the no, funeral home. The suits distributors, they own now. Diesel, they owned the diesel back in the day.
On so, North Main Street?
On North Main Street. Mm-hmm. They had another few clothes shops. He's one of them. So Paddy O'Connor went to school with me. They're all big into rugby now, but they were originally from Toker.
Yeah.
So because I was originally from Toker, there's a massive sense of pride with them from people who came from that background and kind of excelled in life. So Dave, no, like Dave is his brother. He would be very good friends with, you know, Jimmy Barry Murphy, Alex Ferguson, Dennis Irwin, massive.
Alex Ferguson?
Yeah. He'd be showing me all of this when he's up there. But never, like, forgot his roots. And he would always, very good to me, you know, like anytime if I was on stuff in RT or anything, he'd give me gear or anything at all I'd want. You know, even funerals you're going up, he'd look after me. Massive sense of pride because they've come from the same area. But Paddy rang me there. He listens to the podcast with his 10-year-old daughter.
Okay.
which I don't.
She might be a bit small.
This could be a topic, like, because a year older than Polly. And I wouldn't let my girls listen to it, like. And she absolutely loves it. But he was going on about, do you know, we did a one there a few weeks ago on school.
Your school experience. Yeah.
But Polly was a big brute, no.
Okay.
But he's a big brood of a man. They all are. So I give you a background in them, Laura, right? So we go on about, like, everyone's born somewhere.
Yeah.
The next generation of O'Connors now, his nephew educated in Prez.
Mm-hmm.
They're Prez educated. He has another nephew over in, I think is it Gloucestershire or Salford? I don't know. A rugby team over in England, and he's playing professional rugby. It's huge. They're getting different opportunities because times change. But he was on about anyway. We did the episode at school, and I was on about Mr. Breen holding my jumper up.
Yeah.
There he goes. Just listen to the podcast. He goes, it was absolutely brilliant. He goes, me and the daughter were listening to it, and she's asking me about all the teachers. And he goes, I tell you, he says, that Mr. Breen, he was a prick. He says, I remember pushing him.
He pushed Mr. Breen.
He pushed Mr. Breen, and he says if he sees him now again, he's going to give him a beating.
Oh my God, run, Mr. Breen. Run.
And he would too, like,
but he might also give him a lovely suit.
For the funeral. But he says to me, he goes, you know what the best thing, Rob? He says, about Red FM. He says that you met Laura.
Oh, he says,
she's the making of you.
Well, this is interesting now,
so
Robert.
So he said that was just coming up the steps there now.
That what
but
a
I
lovely.
Says, go on away. And then he started ranting about other stuff. And
What a lovely thing to say. And this brings me on to something that you said to me a couple of weeks ago, that you think that I don't see any of your flaws. I think that's what you said.
Did I?
You said something like,
maybe I said you don't judge them. Judge me, or
yeah. No, I think it was probably more that like, oh, sure, you think that I'm this or whatever, but I see all your flaws. But they're some of my favourite things about you. Does that not make sense? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I was on about yesterday. I was chatting with Marion yesterday, on about some people who I'd be in company with.
Okay,
and like, I could fucking mix and I feel, and my buddy Ray, who passed away, said, you've a great talent, Heffernan. He said, you could sit down and chat to the wino on the street and be relatable to him, and you could be up in the fucking Honoris and Michael D. Higgins and you could chat to him. He says, it's great.
Yeah.
And we did, and that was the big, we would chat to anyone away, and I'd have no judgment with people, like.
Yeah.
But I hate being around some fucking people who expect you to act the way when you're in their company to suit their narrative of a persona that they're playing. And I was going on about, like, real people who I've been friendly with. Brought it back to Christmas. I went out for 2 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
So the 23rd. Only out. Not out, no. It was the last time I was out.
We remember.
The 23rd and 24th. I did take the fucking piss.
You did. You were in trouble for half a Christmas.
I met you on
day.
The 23rd and Shane, me, Marion and the kids. And then I went out with the lads.
And we didn't see you again.
Who I train with.
Mid-January.
But I got home. A few points. 6 points, I know more. Good.
Yeah.
Got home. And then the next day, I always go out with Cahill. So I tore the hole out of it.
Yeah.
And I went out on Christmas Eve. and Marty Morrissey came in and met me.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sean and Lee. And Marty brought me home. He dropped me home and he came in with me. And
so the way he brought you home there.
But you know how much of a good guy he is, right? When we met him, we were chatting about this tomorrow last night. We met him then. When were we on the we were on the Today Show?
Oh, early January sometime,
yeah,
weren't we? Yeah.
And I says, fucking Marty. I says, so he was in the doghouse for a few days afterwards. And he goes, well, I could see that, Rob. That's why he stayed around a little bit longer to soften the blow. And he did. He stayed around chatting to Marianne, playing with the kids. And I had no massive fear meeting him afterwards because he can see all versions. He doesn't
judge. He won't judge,
but he knows. He knows when he's on, when he's on, we have to do this. And that you have to leave your guard down. And Marty doesn't drink or anything, But such a nice man. So in that sense, like, and there's not many people you can be like that around, you know?
No, and I think what you said about, what was the name of the fellow that rang you there?
Paddy O'Connor.
Paddy O'Connor. Pock, does anyone ever call him Pock?
No.
I'm going to call him Pock. But do you know what you were saying there about, like, he'd be proud of you because of where you're from?
Yeah.
That's rare. More often than not, I think begrudgery happens. That people go, well, how did he excel? And would try to tear you down a bit. And I think, like, the notion of accepting somebody 100% as they are, like, that doesn't happen really often, I don't think. So it is very precious when it does happen. When you say that to me, that you were like, kind of like that, I don't see any badness in you. I see it all, but it's
go
just
on, give me a few things.
Well, no, like, as in, I know exactly what you'd be like. There'd be sometimes there you'd be telling me stuff, and I'd be like, Jesus Christ, if I was marrying, I'd slap him across the face.
Yeah, yeah.
But like,
sure, I could see that myself.
Yeah, but it's like, as in, or you know, the way that sometimes you say people might think you're a gom, right? And I think, let's be honest about it, I think when we were on the radio, probably more people did think you were a gom. Like, people come up to me all the time going, God, Rob's amazing, isn't he? And I'm like, yeah, I hardly left the radio for a fucking simpleton. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did. Like, I obviously saw something in you that made me go, this is a great person and this is a bad thing that has happened. But, like, you definitely, I think sometimes people are like, oh, sure, he's only this. They make a mistake.
Yeah,
and it's the same with, like, you have to be so careful not to judge people. It's back to the thing of, we wouldn't have been friends in school, and that would have been wrong because we'd have missed out.
But I was thinking that out for a run the other day. It just came into my head. People develop at different stages in their life as well.
Yeah.
And we probably wouldn't have been friends in school, not because I wouldn't have gotten on with you. I just wouldn't have been mature enough.
Well, I'd have been afraid, yeah.
But I wouldn't, 100% wouldn't have been on your level.
He's tiny, but I think he could kill me.
No, it's people develop differently. Like, go back to Paddy, right? Because my head's with him there now after that phone call. He had a stutter in school.
Yeah.
A bad one now. And he was lucky because if he got mocked over it, he'd give you a beating.
Yeah.
But I remember he did a talk on it in Silver Springs. Big conference on it, like, in front of a big hall. I remember reading it going, fuck it, that is, it's so admirable.
Yeah.
And I love people like that, like, that he overcame something, he came out and he addressed it and he spoke about it. And I think that's absolutely brilliant, like.
And you see, then when his daughter is listening into the podcast, obviously we don't want her to listen because of all the expletives and all the fucks or whatever, but at the same time, like, there is something to be gotten out of, like, understanding that everyone is progressing at their own level, at their own rate.
Yeah.
It's back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago about, like, you could bed down into anything. You could spend your life being jealous. You could spend your life comparing yourself to other people. You could have your eye so much on other people's lives that your own life and your own path passes you by. And, like, we often get asked in the emails to talk, like, to teenagers in terms of, like, you know, probably kids that are in, like, transition year, fifth year, sixth year or whatever, to do a podcast specifically for them. Like, if I had one thing to say to any little creature of a teenager now, it's just to hang in there. Your life happens at a different rate for everybody. Like, as in, I think when you're in school, you can certainly, like, if you had school like I had school, you can feel like this is the centre of the universe. Like, Rob, you're only in school up until you're 18.
I know.
The rest of your life is out there ahead of you. You might, like, I think it's only in recent years that I've found actual friends that are the same as me, or that were a better match. Like in school, I don't have a contact with anyone from secondary school because it was just like, it was just, they weren't my people. Or like, I saw there was guys in our class, there was one or two in our class that you'd call a little bit odd, right? But that's because they hadn't found their people. And they went out and into their, like, I often think about college as well. Like, you know, I hated college. The people in my year, I found them very difficult. It's only now that I realise a lot of them were going through shit.
There was one
or two of them were gay that hadn't come out,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That never even occurred to my simple little mind.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was like, what the fuck is wrong with them? Yeah. But they were going through huge. Developmental stuff in their head. And just because I wasn't, I kind of wasn't able to see it. Now when I look back, I'm like, oh my God, like that must have been traumatic for them. Like one or two of them had been in relationships, they'd broken up, they'd suddenly like kind of come out to their parents or whatever, come out to the rest of us. Just because I didn't have any of that upheaval, I just thought they were being dopes. I just thought they were being rude pricks. But obviously everybody, the more I think about it, like everybody comes into the, everyone has their own baggage. Like as we're sitting here now, we have our own baggage because of the way our life has been.
Yeah.
No, I'm understanding of that about loads of people, but other people, I'm like, well, you're a fucking agent. You just need to put your bag away.
Yeah, but people, everyone comes from somewhere, don't they?
And everyone's, if you could understand that everyone's actions are because of something, like even a troll on the internet is behaving like that because of something that happened to them.
Yeah.
I think you could end up being kind of personally insulted by loads of things, but actually if you just take a step back and go, sure, that's that person's life has brought them to this point. That's why they're a prick. Do you know? But you know what I mean? You know, like, I don't know, is there anyone who's just a prick for no reason?
For no reason, yeah.
Do you get it?
I do. I'm trying to think some scenario. Yeah, everyone is a story. And I always say that to kids, like, everybody is going through their own shit, like, and it's only when you understand. Like, even listening to, I listened to the other week, like, oh my God.
Oh my God,
that?
Who's ringing us?
It's Marty Morrissey.
Marty Morrissey, no way. Answer him. Put him on.
Marty, we're just recording a podcast, Marty.
Say
so
hi,
I'm
Marty.
Hang up on you, and you're going to be on it now. So say something nice. You're the only person in the world. No, I have an idea. We should get Marty on the podcast.
Marty, now, will you come on the podcast?
Darling, I would love to go on the podcast with you. My problem is your man, Rob Heffernan. he won't let me talk.
Marty, we're gone.
Go away.
I'll ring you in a minute. Good luck. That's it. Marty, I've ruined you only on about him.
Weird.
That is mad.
Weird.
That is mad. No.
Weird. No, go away. What you were going to say. Fuck it, I can't remember what you were saying now. It was like the other week.
Marty rings me.
You love Marty Morrissey.
Ah, he's great.
We will get him on.
We'll get him on.
He'll
be our first guest.
Yeah, our first celeb guest.
But everyone's going through stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I listened to Brenda's story.
Amazing. Brenda on Left on Red. Yeah.
Fuck it, it was very... So exactly on that point, it was very emotional, Laura.
Yeah.
The poor girl, like... And you know what, I felt like messaging her, and then you're like going, but she's getting messages off everyone, she's not going to read my and then I was like, if it was me, I'd love to get a message off her, you know.
Sure, you love a message.
Yeah, it was very emotional, like me and Marion listened to it together.
Yeah, highly recommend.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, I would recommend it for people to listen to, and she'd be very open about it. And it's back to like what we've talked about, and I would have like, having an image, or I always thought she was a nice girl.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's very smart. She come across very driven. I know she went to London. I know she worked in Red. Always came across as having her shit together. Like,
yeah.
She presents really well. Good looking girl. Funky glasses.
Yeah.
And I'd never, but I'd never envisaged.
Get that put in a cup, Brenda. Funky glasses.
But no, I like her more.
Well, you see, you know, for anyone that doesn't know, it was basically her experience with addiction.
Yeah.
Put it that way. Go listen to her telling about it. Everybody, even the blandest old dope that you'd meet out and about, like, everyone has a story. There's
everyone
a reason
a
why they're a bland dope.
And but you know, I remember going to my first Olympics in Sydney. I'm going to sneeze.
This is this fella's sneezing. Marty Morrissey is ringing. The sun is blinding us. There's a lot
and
to take
I was
in.
Rooming with a fella from the north, John McAdory from Ballymena. What a fuck. He was a 100 metre sprinter.
Okay.
And He's passed away now.
Oh no.
Yeah, fucking very sad, Laura. Like, what he died there a few years ago. I don't know. It was very fucking sad. Family, young family.
Oh God.
Fucking soundest fella. Normal working class fella, but he was getting stressed out of his head. And it made me feel way better about myself because I used to be stressed out as well.
Cool as a breeze next
time. But
at
my first Olympics, like, I used to be really stressed.
Yeah.
Really stressed about everything. A week coming into the race. And I can remember Colin Lowe, who used to swim. We were in the canteen. You see in the canteen now, like, fucking Gabriel Selassie, all of the big stars would be around. And Colin said to me, it was exactly 1 week before my race, and Colin turned around to me and he said, Rob, if you're going for a walk there in a minute, he goes, you might get me a bottle of milk and bread in the shop. Well, I fucking tell you, I was back, the pressure.
How do you mean? Was he disrespectful?
Taking the piss out of me, going out for, like, you're just going out for a normal walk. Do you know what I mean? So I turned around and I says, Colin, I says, I will, yeah, boy. Pure cork, no vacuum. Yeah. Time. He says, and you know, when you're going for a swim in a minute, you can have a loan of my rubber ducky, it's back in the room. So fucking. So, but back to the reaction, there's always something behind the insecurity of it all.
I don't know.
It was completely different at the end because it was so sterile and
can
organized.
I just say, I don't know, was it much of a retort? Because basically, you were just implying that you had a rubber duck back in your
but
room.
Winding him up because he was going into the swimming pool, you know.
No, I know.
Yeah, I know. But he, like, says.
It suggested that you owned a rubber
so
duck.
So there was kind of a standoff. McAdory says to me, going back, he goes, fuck it, sir. He says, you fucking annoyed him there. And he goes, he says, he's going to kill you or something like that. And he goes, well, he fucking better make sure that he fucking does a good job, because if I get fucking back up, he's fucked.
Okay.
She boys are only winding me up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So back, like, did boys were having a laugh off me, like, because I reacted to it, or, you know, it was my insecurity, or I was so nervous and I was so stressed when I got older, you know? So you don't know what people are going through.
Hang on. When you got older, what, you don't react now? Are you joking?
I know.
I could still see you fucking a rubber duck at someone.
No, I wouldn't. Laura, at the start, like, I remember my first Olympics, I remember at 10K going around the bend and the Belarusian bumped off me and I threw a puck at him because I got an elbow at the European Juniors and I had a massive insecurity about that because I felt so fucking afraid afterwards that it was never going to happen to me again. So I raced the World Cup in 99, start line off, 120 in the race, and all you could see my fist in the air. In that race, throwing a puck at someone, do you know, to prove that I wasn't afraid. And then the same in the Olympics. But what happened then? Sure, I was only deflecting him what I had to do. Throwing a fucking puck at a fella.
Yeah.
And it was actually my fault. I crossed him off.
Yeah.
And we were moting. And sure, my performance went down then the second 10K. But when you're more in control with stuff, not the end. Nothing would bother me.
But also, do you know what? Like, do you regret any of the way you were? You don't.
No, I don't. Because you have to learn.
100%.
So that's back to my point. Like, you could come across really polished and articulate, but we all have a journey. Like, it's all learning from scenarios. I think the people who've got opportunities in any walk of life to come through and learn from scenarios, and then they don't, they're fucking dopes, or they don't have any drive.
Yeah,
whether you want to be a good mom or whether you want to be a good sports person, you're always curious to get better. Like,
I think if you are, like, if you're not, as you're getting older, learning from, like, if you're not fixing some of your behaviours, then there is something wrong with you, a bit. Mm. Like, as in, I know I joke about, like, that I'm a certain way with Shane or whatever and I'm never going to change, but I do change, of course I do. Like, you make it, you learn from times you've been a dope.
Yeah, some stuff is just shy talk. Like, is that not allowed?
Yeah, sometimes.
Come here back to what what are my flaws?
What's your flaws? Oh, yes, okay. Let me get out my little list. But you see, I don't view them as flaws. I view them as the things that add up to making you you.
Yeah.
So, you're, I think people could make the mistake that you're distracted, but you're actually not.
All right.
So you give off an air of being distracted, but you are always listening.
Yeah.
You are, this could be very dangerous. You can do my flaws in a minute now, if you can think of any.
That wasn't part of the deal.
No, though, because I don't like it being all one-sided. You are, here's your positive. You're always on time, actually, right? You're very punctual. You will always do what you say you'll do.
Right.
Like, that's what I've always appreciated about you. Like, if you're going to do something, you'll do it and you'll get fully stuck into it, which I appreciate. You don't respond well to anything remotely affectionate. Like, if I was like, I think you're great and I love you, you just go weird.
I
which I find hilarious, because I'm like full of love, and you just be like, alright girl, yeah, right, you know. You can't go there.
That's gas now, because I can remember my mum trying to hug me.
Yeah.
After I came home from the European Championships and all of the cameras were there, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, no,
you
but
haven't
I
done
actually
this to me before. Get away from me.
But
you
I actually think though that it's a respect thing. That like you definitely are very fond of me, but you would never say it to me because you would be afraid that it could be misconstrued then. Do you know what I mean? As in that Marion would be like, what the fuck are you saying that to her for? And like, as in, even though it would be 1,000,000,000% platonic, you'd never do anything to disrespect Marion. Whereas Shane knows that I tell everyone I love them.
I love you.
Do you know what I mean?
And that's just a respect.
That's a respect thing.
Dealing with a woman. Like,
Totally. But also, you just go
that
weird.
That you wouldn't be inappropriate.
Yeah, but you're not going to be inappropriate with me. Like, I'm like your sister. But like, as in, you get a bit clammy and weird if somebody says anything too nice to you for too long. You'd be kind of like, yeah, anyway, yeah. I talk to you later. The other thing is, like, I think you manage to make everybody feel like you're only talking to them.
Okay.
But you definitely are like on 40 WhatsApp voice notes to 40 different people. Like, I'm like, why hasn't he gotten back there now to a voice note? Because I think I'm the only one that you're onto. But then when I see you, you're onto like about 50. I'm onto a fella there and I'm like, he's paid from voice notes. But see, none of these are flaws. These are just all things that make you yourself. You could hold a grudge, I'd say. Kind of.
If I'm wronged, that's interesting. Oh, you said that because I can remember before I was with Mary, you know, and I was on holidays with my brother and my cousin.
Elton,
people can be completely confused at the differences in my kind of personality.
Yeah,
they can be away on holidays and have such a laugh, be so personable with them, and then I'll come home and I'll cut them completely out of my life and go back training. Because I've a fucking massively innate survival instinct to do what I need to do to get to the top, and I probably can just cut you all out.
Yeah,
I haven't done that to you.
But for my temperament, that doesn't suit me at all. Like, because I'm like, he could drop me like a hot shit, and so then I'm like, so I'm always slightly on edge then.
Right.
But I think as well,
I have exhausted people like on my journey. Like, I've exhausted them.
You are a bit exhausted. Like, sometimes when you're talking to me, like, if you're in the room, it feels like there's 50 people in the room. Not that you're all different versions of yourself, but there's just, you have such an energy when you come into a room that, like, when you're gone, then there's a bit of, like, I think I need to lie down. There is definitely an exhausting quality to you, but it's not necessarily a negative. It's just that you're a lot, but in a good way. Do you know what I mean?
Well, fuck it, there's nothing I can do about that. No, that's who I am.
No, exactly. Mm. But I think as well, though, that people could easily, this is what I was saying, people could easily make the mistake of thinking that you're,
that's interesting,
that you're not.
I like being fucking psychoanalyzed.
Do you?
Are you this right?
You're doing this to me now as well, because people are always like, Laura's interviewing Rob, and we never hear much about Laura from Rob. So you're doing the same to me now.
I'm only trying to understand myself. I remember.
He only cares about himself.
I know. Just trying to think like that my behaviours aren't personal to other people.
This is like an examination, you know, of your baggage. Like, how are you?
I can remember, like, in an extreme case, right? Like, say, if I fucking was training, and I'd love to bring on people who were away with me who knew me from my training.
Oh, I reckon we'll get all the full names on eventually.
I'd be so different, and I'd be so concentrated to do that. And then the relief after something so hard is done is that you just want to play.
Yeah.
And want to have fun. And when people fucking don't get that, and they don't, but I think big people do, who are successful and stuff, because I think the playing and the messing and all that, it's a distraction from what is so, so hard and so serious, or what you have to really put your concentration into. So there used to be one fella. This fucking dope. He was being training camps with us in Guadix.
He obviously had his own baggage.
But he had.
What's
coming to me now?
Tell me.
He was an awful dope. But I can remember saying to him one day in Guadix, the training was done, we'd have the lunch, we'd have a bit of a laugh, and then I might go quiet. No, I need to
decompress. Yeah.
And go back, go for a sleep.
Yeah.
And Marion and Cahill and Megan were gone. And he was back in the house. Laurie used to be fucking following me around the house watching me, like. And I was like going, will you just fucking stop looking at me? Mm. Stop following me. Just go to fucking bed. Do your own thing. And then another day I said to him, he goes, do you see you? You're so fucking tick. I says, it doesn't even go in one ear and out the other. It goes in one ear, goes around in a fucking circle and falls back out. Just fuck off.
I mean,
I probably made him feel like the centre of the world, but he fucking drove me mad.
But this is back to the thing of you actually, I think you're like a fella that should mainly be like living on your own with your own thoughts, but then we take you out of the box every now and again to, like, as in, like, you need to be, you definitely, and I have that quality as well, you need to be away from people, you need to be with people, and then you need to be away from
them. That's why I'm more relaxed around you, because I don't think you have any flaws.
You have to find some now. Find him.
He was an awful dope.
And how is he now?
He's still a fucking dope. I'm probably more understanding and more emphatic towards him. No, I don't actually, because when I see him, he annoyed me. He just fucking was annoying.
There but are,
you know,
people
this
that
fucking
fella annoying.
Was such a dope. I was at a wedding one time, right?
Poor
he
man.
So conscious around me, and I knew he was a dope. Like, yeah, he was an awful dope.
Yeah,
but that's grand. Just be yourself. Stop trying to be fucking somebody else.
Yeah.
Just be yourself. You're grand.
Yeah.
You're grand.
Yes, but
you're,
this
be
is
yourself. But he was always trying to be something else. Laurie was at the fucking wedding, right? He's at the table with me. And he ran a pair of glasses back to Brenda there now in her glasses, them type of glasses.
Funky glasses.
Funky glasses. I was looking at him. This fucker doesn't need any glasses. I took the glasses off and put them on. They were fake glasses.
Oh, but that's just a fashion thing.
He was trying to look intelligent.
Stop, Rob.
I'm telling you now. You fucking think I'm out. I think we ended up wrestling then that night, and I caught him in a headlock out the lobby.
Well, you see, this is the other side of it. This is the other flaw. You might be likely to put somebody in a headlock.
So stuff like that,
but it's back
people
to,
like,
just be yourself. Like, you'd have no problem with him being a dope if he was just happy to be his dopey
self.
Yeah,
but Marty ringing there now for argument's sake. I can be all of the different versions of myself, and he's fucking great crack because he's busy doing what he has to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
he's not
fucking
sitting around judging what's Rob doing, what's he acting like, what's he doing now, because Marty's busy doing what we. And if our energies come together and we get on, it's a bonus. It's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't have fucking time to be judging other people or going, oh, she said this now, or he said that, or she was. I don't give a fucking.
Well,
I don't care.
But you see, I think women are probably a bit worse for that, because I do have time for doing that, and I don't like that I have time for doing that. Do you know? I think that probably I'll give you one of my flaws, that I'd be like, oh, she said this now, and oh, I know what she meant by
but
that.
But you'd be
on
to me with stuff, like, and you'd give out about stuff, but I
and then you'd just go, oh, yeah, grand. I know you're good for an old voice.
Go, I'm not fucking entertaining this. This is ridiculous what you're saying. And but I think you don't get eyed because I just defuse it all for you. But if I said that to Marion, oh, fuck, it'd be World War III.
Well, I don't, odd is not something that I.
Like, you said something to me the other day, and I was like, this is just fucking ridiculous now.
I'm just going back for it, because your response was amazing, and I got hysterical at your response. I said, wait now a second, I'm going back here, a lot of voice notes here now. It's not a voice note. I said, I maybe won't say what I said. Wait now till I find it. Oh my God.
Lots of messages.
Our WhatsApps can never be shown to anyone. They'll absolutely get us cancelled. Where was it? Because it was the perfect answer. It was the perfect answer. Because sometimes Shane doesn't have the perfect answer for me. And that's probably because back to, just that Marion would get odd, but I wouldn't. It's because we're not in a relationship. Whereas, Shane sometimes does not have the. If Shane gave me this answer, I think I'd give him a dig into the face. You said. Where is it? I can't find it. Oh, here it is. So I had a big rant about something. It was only 39 seconds long, whatever it was. And you said, I said something about, if you don't mention the podcast publicly, then I'm only a dope then mentioning it. And it seems like I'm the only one that cares and you don't care and blah, 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 right? I think I may have been on the blob. But anyway, you just said, I'm not even responding to that. You're ridiculous. Which I got hysterical at, because I was like, yes, I am ridiculous. And yes, you are correct. So like, as in, that was the correct way to deal with me, in that you are quite good at dealing with people. But no, I would never get odd. I don't believe in odd. It's the same as tired. Odd and tired, they are two concepts.
I think
there's nothing good comes out of odd.
You can be you could be really adamant about the way you think. And I think if you fight fire with you, you'll come back because you're fierce fucking smart, and you're probably really good at debating, and you're really good with thinking on your feet. You're very, very quick. But I think if you just leave, you'll figure it out yourself.
Well, the trick is to defuse me.
You figure it, like, yeah. You know? And like, like even the other week. With all of the fucking... And I have absolutely zero interest in all of the drama of Prince William and... What's his wife's name?
Kate.
You say you don't even fucking know. Like, I've no interest in any of that. But it just... Where were we? And it came up.
I don't know.
We were fucking somewhere.
We were somewhere and we were talking about it.
Oh, we were on the 6 o'clock show.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Brian Dowling and there was... Katja.
Yeah.
Beautiful
Your
Katja.
Your lady.
My woman.
And the chef, Quandy.
And the chef.
Yeah.
And you were all going on about Prince William.
Yeah.
And I think people can find these... themselves in these scenarios. Sometimes you'll engage in the conversation and there's a part of your head going, Rob, what the fuck are you, like, you fucking know more care now about the fucking royals. And you had all of these conspiracy theories. Brian Dowling was fucking gazing at you like amazed. Katja was edging away from me.
Creepy little guy.
And the chef was, he was fucking drawn into it then as well. And I don't know, I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
I was like, you got him. But I'm fully aware of everything that was going on.
You're fully aware. I do think
you just had nothing to contribute, like.
But sometimes you do opt out.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do opt out. And I can tell when you've opted out. It was the same on the radio. Like, he's gone there now. He's gone. Like, not even on air, mostly off air.
And I'm not saying who was saying anything. There was these conspiracy theories that of all of the stuff that was going on with poor old Kate. And William had babies with this. And sure, didn't his dad have a baby? Or had mam had a baby with someone else or dad? And I was fucking hell. I was like... I sure then it came out the poor girl was sick. You know?
Yeah, I know. And I know, I'm very convincing.
Very convincing. You're so articulate about your story. And I found you, like, you have massive research. It's like, she has to be right. How can she be disinformed? So then we came up, there's stuff going on now at the moment with Jay-Z and...
P. Diddy.
Pedo Diddy.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Is but he?
No. But I just said I throw that. That was
yeah,
just
but I liked it. I liked it.
But if there was
I could convince you about that as well.
Yeah. But there was scandal in the papers the other way. I don't know what the story is.
Oh, no, there's loads of scandal, but I'm just not sure.
But you have to be really careful for people in general what you read and what you believe and what you let into your soul.
And you see, but I'm a terror for that, and I've always been. I'm very susceptible. Like, in 2012, right?
It amazes me. That amazes me about you, because you are so intelligent. I think I could bring you in to help coach my lads. You're very good at simplifying things and being very matter of fact. In other ways, then you can be, no, this is... And I'd be there. How the fuck does she know all this? Like?
But I am then also very gullible in some ways. So in 2012, when I was due to get married, and I did in fact get married, it makes it seem like I didn't... what are you doing with your arm there now? This episode is a wreck, but I like it. I am a bit worried that you might get a heart attack just because of your past history. No, but in 2012, I was living in Monkstown in Cork, and I went to the Super Value in Carrigaline, right? And there was a big, massive billboard outside the Super Value in Carrigaline, and it said, "End of the World 2012, the Mayans," right?
And
the Mayans, you know, the Mayan tribe, M-A-Y-A-N.
I don't, so, but go
well,
on,
you, well, they had said anyway that it was the end of the world. So I was like in to do my shopping, and in my head I'm like, there's a billboard up outside now saying that the end of the world is coming. I mean, it's on a billboard. It must be real, right? So I went home to Shane anyway, and I was like, Shane, there was a billboard up outside Super Value. And he's like, oh, go away. Like, I mean, he's well used to me. But genuinely, for the whole year of my wedding... I was like, but sure, I mean, the year's meant to end. Like, this is typical of me now. I always come in at the end. I won't get to get married because the world is going to end. And I know in my head that that is absolutely... absolutely simple, but I am so susceptible to that kind of shit. I'm so susceptible to like crazy ass shit that like it's that's definitely a character flaw.
It's irrational, like.
It's totally irrational, but I can fully convince myself. So not only can I convince other people of stuff, I can. I think I should be like your man Derren Brown. I think I'd make a fortune if, you know, the magician fella. Like, if I was good at magic, I could convince you of anything, I'd say. Like, and that's why it's hard to fight with me. That's why when you defuse me is the right way to go, because if you fight with me, I'll fucking fight you back, yeah. And I'll convince you that you're wrong. Is that gaslighting?
But you don't hold grudges. No, you believe it at that moment.
At the time, yeah.
You believe it, like.
I don't hold grudges. Oh, no, not really. Well, if you've wronged me, it's the same as you. If I've been wronged.
Yeah, but I think you have no bother. You can't hold anything in, so you'll always express how you feel about something, which is good.
Yeah,
and
correct.
I think if you don't know and I think going back to, like, at the start, like when we were working in the radio and you threw a couple of things out because it was the first time I seen you doing that, I fucking had to back up straight away just from probably, oh my God, gotta hit my funny bone there.
Oh my God, this is chaos. It's chaos, but I like it.
And if you reacted to it.
Like what? Give me an example.
Like if things annoyed you.
Yeah.
And if you took it as no offence, but it's just the way you're feeling, and if you kind of take a step back and calm down, or if you can, you do always work things out.
Yeah, but I also, I think I'm always very conscious of, I think I'm conscious of, in my own brain, I might have had a thought, and I think I've said it to you, and then I'm like, oh God, I might have pissed him off there, now I better go and apologise. But then I actually haven't ever said it.
It was harder in the radio if you ever had something into your head and you're working in such close proximity, yeah, and you're on live. It's very hard to, in that moment, then
I remember one. You called me, you had referred to me as being angry twice on air.
Yeah, you snapped.
And I was angry then. Yeah, because I was like, stop it. What are you doing?
You snapped.
I said, what are you referring to me as angry for?
You came off air.
I remember saying, don't refer to me as being angry again, which completely proved the point that I was angry. She was very angry at the time.
Then I'm there in my head like, oh, is she for fucking real picking a fight in me here? What am I meant to do? Like, we're going to be back live in here with fucking jazz hands now in a minute. And I feel fucking enraged that she's after attacking me. But you felt wronged.
I felt wronged because I was like, why are you saying I'm angry? Like, I'm not. I think I was up my high horse about something and I didn't want to be depicted as an angry little woman.
Yeah.
Does it, again, but you're well, I was fucking raging afterwards. But it is the thing about your baggage. It's all your baggage comes with you. So like that was
tricky. It's hard in an environment then like that.
Yeah,
it's hard. Imagine like with people on TV or when they have to work with each other and if they're not getting on. And this happens in training camps as well. Like,
does it?
Oh, fuck it, Laura.
Would you have worn a training camp?
Laura, I remember being away in training camps when I was younger and Jamie, he won't mind me saying it now, Jamie Costin. Like he was in a room next to me. We were staying in a centre in Fontremaux. And I used to be absolutely bollocksed. Every single day I was so tired. And if I bedded into that negative attitude, getting up out of bed, you can affect the whole group. But not having that awareness when you're younger, you don't know what impact you can have on everybody else.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the experience and you need to have people then to explain stuff to you and kind of go and show you the light. And then you have that awareness. Oh, I never realised that I actually could have, my mood could have affecting anybody. So me and Jamie would be at tiny little rooms now in this training centre in Fontremaux. And we'd get up in the morning, we'd go down for breakfast, and Jamie would come out of the room and he'd go, fuck it, good morning Rob, fuck it, did you have a nice sleep? And he'd be all happy.
Yeah.
And I'd be there, will he ever just shut the fuck up, like, I'm fucking wrecked. He's fucking playing mind games with me. He's trying to fucking let on that he has more energy than me, he's more recovered than me, feels better than me, and it was all competition.
Right.
You know?
And was it just the fact that he was a morning person and you weren't?
Yeah, sure, he was a farmer. He was a fucking milking cows all his life.
Okay.
Early. But just the way my head would go, or where things, like on training camps, like when you, it's so important to be away with people who can, when you're under pressure and when you're so, so tired that you need somebody there to kind of quantify them emotions and them feelings, because you can lash out, like.
Now, I hate to take your training camp and compare it to Irish College, but I'm going
to. No, it's similar.
Because in Irish College, you're there for 3 weeks together, and there is the initial, we're all here, it's great, it's amazing. Then people's mood, particularly we were teens, like, so we were moody teenagers. Like, I had friends in Irish College that could change the atmosphere in a room because they were in a foul humour. And again, it was because they were dealing with stuff. Mm. Like, we were teenagers. We were riddled with angst. We all thought we were on Dawson's Creek. But, like, it's only as you're older, like, you get aware that your mood can change a room. I know my mood can change a room. Mm. And your mood can change a room. Or, but, like, as in, there was a time a couple of weeks ago, you walked up and you weren't going to tell me you were in bad form, but straight away I was like, what's wrong with you? Like, but that's a great thing to be able to be that in tune that we can kind of sort that out. But, like, I think I'm susceptible to thinking other people's moods are about me. Because that's an ego thing again. I'm like, oh, he's in bad form. It's because I said that thing 2 weeks ago.
And it
never is. It's rarely about. That's pure ego.
Oh, you have that. Well, like, I'd have that with Mar. Like, I'd always think, what did I do? And it comes back on me then. Like,
yeah. But that's
she
ego,
could just be in
I think.
Bad form.
Yeah, she could just be allergic. She might just be like, you left all the cupboards open. Like, but the age old problem. Or it might be nothing to do with you. She could have seen something. Sometimes it's me. If I flick through my phone, I see something that pisses me off online. Then I'm pissy for a while. Mm. And then poor Shane is like, what's wrong with you? And then I'm just pissy. Sometimes we're just pissy. It's our own baggage, isn't it?
A lot of the time.
Huh?
A lot of the time. Did I say a lot of the time?
Excuse me. I'm a lovely,
Marty
happy.
Ringing earlier on.
Are we getting him on?
I think it'd be great.
Would he be a good guest?
We'll have to ask people.
You see, I want to have guests, but I also don't want to have guests.
If we bring him on, we'll bring him on as a trial. Marty's one of your little guinea pigs.
You're a trial. What a dirty little guinea pig he is. I can't wait to give him an old cuddle.
That's loads. We got loads on there, no?
We did. Like, I mean, what did we discover? We have all got baggage.
We've all got baggage. And so I have a few ideas for the podcast now.
How do you mean?
Marty on.
Yeah.
I met a friend of mine. I threw it up on my Instagram there actually the other week. Who is going to be a qualified doctor in psychology.
Ooh.
In about a month. He just handed in his thesis.
We get him on once he's qualified.
I said, we get him on.
Don't want this unqualified fella on at all.
So once he's on, get him to decipher some of our narratives.
Do you think that we'd ever get Shane and Marion on?
We could,
but I bet you Shane would be too quiet in the mic and I'd kill him. I'd be like, would you ever talk into the mic there?
Mar would out me then with a lot of stuff like
all your flaws. You see, I haven't even done well on that. We'll get Marion on for an episode about flaws. Goodbye, my tiny flawed friend.
Red Raw. Red Raw. With Rob and Laura.